Ananda Koti Vaishnavindi ki jai. ISKCON founder Charja Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Premsi Kosi Krishna Chaitanya Bhumanity Ananda Sri Adoita Gadada Sri Vasani Vola Bhaktivindi ki jai. Sri Sri Radhakrishna Gopinath Saimakunda Radhakunda Giri Govardhan ki jai. Sri Vrindavan Dham ki jai. Sri Navadipa Dham ki jai. Gangamayi ki jai. Jamunamayi ki jai. Bhakti Devi ki jai. Tulsi Devi ki jai. Shama Veda Bhaktivindi ki jai. All glorious the assembled devotees. All glorious the assembled devotees. All glorious the assembled devotees. All glorious the sweet Sri Guru and Gauranga Nitai Guru. Among the Shantai, Krishna Pastabi Telos, and the Bhakti, and the Samani Kumi, and the Spirits of the people, and the Samani Sages. That basket over there, what does it say?
Questions and answers.
Okay. If at any time you have any questions, or if you have any answers, you could all put them in there, write it down, and put your questions in there, and then on not today and not tomorrow, but the next morning, our final morning, we shall deal with questions. But if you have answers also, no problem. Now, this particular class presentation has three parts, and I'm just trying to think of what part should I begin with. Part one, part two, or part three? Definitely not part one. We'll save part one for the end, naturally. I think we'll begin with part two, and then move to three, and then move back to one. Is that all right? Thank you. Now, this part I'll tell you something about it. That one year, I may have mentioned this previously, that one year in Vrindavan, we were asked to, or not asked to, but we, generally the devotees in Vrindavan, they, when the month of Kartik comes, they take a vow. What vow? Well, the devotees decide themselves what they would like to do. So sometimes devotees don't eat any sweets for Kartik, during the month of Kartik. And at one time I vowed to read a chapter of the Krishna book every day for the month of Kartik. Not the same chapter, by the way, but just a different chapter about Krishna, especially Krishna's Vrindavan pastimes. And another time I took the vow to chant so many rounds extra, more than the 16 rounds. And then right before Kartik, I was in one devotee's office, and he happened to mention to me, why don't you do something interesting as a vow this Kartik? And I said, what were you thinking of? And he said, why don't you vow, I mean, it wasn't this to me, why don't you take a vow not to criticize anyone for the month of Kartik? And I thought, wow, what a great idea. And the month of Kartik, this month in Vrindavan, I'm not going to criticize anyone. And what happened was, when the month of Kartik came around and I started, and I took my vow not to criticize anyone, and I lasted probably, I don't remember if it was 20 minutes or an hour. And what happened was, it came to my attention, by making this vow, it came to my attention just how much I criticize people. And this is just even just speaking, not to speak of what I'm thinking all the time. But criticism of devotees continuously, I saw was I was speaking, and it wasn't serious things either. Like this person really did something terrible, but just casually and continuously, when there was nothing better to do, and in the course of conversation, just I would criticize. And years later, I began to note that when I criticize devotees, it definitely affects my consciousness. My consciousness, the way I describe it is the heart chakra, instead of being open, which is natural and required in devotional service, actually consciously feel your heart closing, or at least I could feel my heart closing just when I would criticize devotees. So then when I heard about something that was very interesting, and it came to me in quite a few ways, and we started incorporating this into our japa retreats. And what we would like to do is make the remainder of this japa retreat a criticism and complaint-free japa retreat. And not only for me, by the way. I was hoping everyone else would pick this one up too. Now, here's the way it goes, and this is the simple system that we use. That, first, what is the complaint? A complaint is when you express some grievance or injustice, just complaining about how this person has acted and this person has acted and how life has treated you in this way and that way. And complaints are an expression of great dissatisfaction. And you can watch or feel how your heart will close when you complain. And criticism is passing judgment and finding fault and expressing one's condemnation of others. And so when we say that we'd like to remove this tendency that conditioned souls, at least I have, for my consciousness, is to stop complaining and stop criticizing, we want to do it for the purpose of allowing our Krishna consciousness to grow, and also making our chanting of Krishna's names more effective, because sato nindam paramam apararam vitanute, that the primary offense or the supreme aparad, paramam aparadam, is sadhu ninda, or criticism of the devotees. So this doesn't mean that if someone's walking, a devotee is walking down the road throwing rocks at everyone, that when, of course, devotees would never do things, we're not allowed to say, it's not, if we say, excuse me, Prabhu, this might cause some damage or something like that, that's not what we mean when we say stopping criticism. And also, if someone drops a huge boulder on our toe, to say, oh, this, you shouldn't do things like that, or this hurts, this, that really hurt me a lot. We don't mean that you're not allowed to be practical. And you're not allowed to express your feelings and process what life is doing to you in that way. So you can express your feelings. That really was very disturbing, and it was confusing to me when you did this. And it doesn't mean that you're not allowed to inform someone of that they're doing something inappropriate, or a mistake, or a deficiency. You're not allowed to drop the, excuse me, Prabhu, please. You're not supposed to drop the hot doll on people when you're walking by and things like that. No, it's more practical than that. And it doesn't mean putting up with bad qualities of behavior. But when we complain and criticize, We invest so much of our false ego into the complaint and the criticism. And the basic concept of false ego is that I am the center of existence, and how dare you do this to me? Subtly or grossly, this is what false ego, when in action, informs everyone. The false ego keeps oneself in the center, and it makes one appear as if one himself is perfect. So, you can express your feelings about how something is affecting you, and you can explain the facts and inform someone of some mistake or deficiency. But really, when one is in a position of responsibility or authority, it is one's duty to point out the inconsistencies in a person's behavior, and that this is a faulty way of acting, and this is a faulty way of acting. It's one's duty when one is a position of authority to do that. But it's not everyone's duty to point out everyone else's deficiency continuously. When we have a position to do that, it's our duty to do it, our responsibility to do that, but it's not everyone. Well, I think this person should do this, and this person should do that, and this person's like that, and the weather should be sunny when we have our retreats, and this happens, and this happens, and, you know, please, Indra, I want you to get a little better together from now on, and, no, that's not our responsibility to control the entirety of the universe. But if we have been given a section of the world as a responsibility, we should do it. And the general key in Gaudiya Vaishnavism is that when one is criticizing or finding fault, if it's one's duty to do it, and one should do it only when it's one's duty, is that there should be affection in the heart, like a parent. He criticizes and finds fault and corrects the child because, first of all, it's his duty to do so, or her duty to do so. And second of all, because they have affection, and they keep the affection in the forefront of the consciousness, so that the criticism and complaining about the behavior is done out of affection. So this is, of course, ideally. So another thing, the criticism and complaining that's often done just as gossip, basically and simply as gossip. And Mahaprabhu told Raghunath Das Goswami, Gramya Katana Shunibe, don't engage and hear. There's just a blah, 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 blah. Did you see this person did this? And then, how terrible this person did this. And blah, 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 blah. So no. So especially during this particular time period, which we're using, we want to minimize our frivolous, silly, and detrimental activities and maximize our spiritual activities and maximize specifically our chanting of Krishna's names, and also have a suitable container of our consciousness within which we can effectively chant Krishna's names in the proper mood. We want a peaceful consciousness, etc. So specifically during the retreat, we are going to request the devotees who will take up this vow to do it, that no criticism and complaining. Now, we have a simple system, and it said it takes 21 days to form a habit. And I know devotees who have gone through this. And to get 21 days consecutively of not criticizing anyone or complaining, It took like 6 months. And most people give up before that because it's so difficult and we have such a bad habit of doing this. Now, to help us with this, before we talk about the practical how to do it, what happens is you go through stages. These are well-known stages. It's like when I took my vow to not criticize anyone during Kartik, the first thing that happened to me is that I became conscious of how often I do it. So casually, uselessly, meaninglessly, just because this is what I do. So it's the consciousness of one's incompetence is the first stage. And then, gradually, before that, I was in the stage of unconscious incompetence. And then when I decided to make my vow, I became conscious of my incompetence. And then the next stage, which I didn't happen to reach in that Kartik, was where you have to work hard, consciously, to keep up your competence. So it goes from unconscious incompetence to conscious incompetence, which is a very embarrassing stage when you're aware of your incompetence and inappropriate actions, to the hard work of being conscious about being competent, and then it becomes a habit. It becomes a habit. And then just naturally you're competent at it, like riding a bicycle. You don't have to think about it in the beginning, you have to be, or driving a car. You don't have to think about it when you're expert. So we want to ideally incorporate a natural tendency to not criticize within our and complain into our consciousness. So the devotees, when you stay in Vrindavan, and this is an advice I give to people in Vrindavan often when they come, is that whatever happens, you see Krishna's mercy in it. And this is one of the secrets in Krishna consciousness. Tateyano kampam susamakshamano bhunjane vatmakripavakam vipakam. So this is in some sense, it's such an exalted consciousness to see Krishna's mercy in everything that occurs. That jivatayo mukti pade sadayabak. If you have this consciousness, just by this consciousness alone, practically speaking, it makes you qualified to enter the spiritual world. It's so rare and so wonderful. So during this retreat, we'd like to start developing this consciousness and see what it's like. So we have two simple things that we do. And the first one is these rubber bands. We also have an assortment of colors here. If someone's very color conscious, not very much of an assortment, but we have our brown or we have our flashy red rubber bands. And all they have to do is place one. I'm a red rubber band fan, and I just place it around your wrist. I think these brown ones are a bit larger if you have large wrists. And all you have to do is you take your vow, and any time you criticize someone or complain, and thinking all kinds of terrible thoughts is allowed, by the way, you're not penalized for that. But all you have to do is every time you catch yourself, or very often others catch you, criticizing or complaining, is you just change it to the other wrist. That's all. And in that way, one becomes very conscious of one's incompetence, because you find out that all day long you're going like this. Or sometimes what you do is you change it 5 or 6 times in advance, just because you know a run of criticism is coming. No, we don't want to do that. Because we want to stop it, especially during our japa retreat, to make our consciousness suitable for chanting Krishna's names, because what does it mean when we're very prone to criticizing others and very prone to complaining? We're thinking, how dare someone do this to me? Don't they know who I am? And if they don't, they shall soon learn. I mean, it might not be as gross as that, but that is truly the nature of false ego. While the Vaishnava's mood is really, okay, Krishna has sent this to me. What is Krishna trying to teach me through this? It is exalted consciousness. It is most exalted consciousness. And we should know that most exalted consciousness is not so easy to obtain. So, if anyone would like to take up the vow, not necessarily for 21 days, but at least during the retreat, you can continue it if you like. You can quickly come up, or we could pass them around, or you can come up and get your rubber band, if you like. Or you can, why don't you pass them around, and if you want one, take one. Go ahead. Yes. Huh? And here's some more. Here's some more. But put it on knowing what you're doing. The grave consequences. Otherwise, you'll all be rascals. Whoops, no, I got it right. Okay, that's one time. I think the men have it over here. Who doesn't have one and wants one? And it will come your way. The back over there. Now, this is the first thing that we do. And again, you can think any silly thought you like, and you don't have to change it. But the idea is that don't feed the silly, critical, and complaining thoughts by vocalizing them. That feeds them and makes them stronger. So if we don't feed them, they will stop. That is the basic concept. Now, anyone have any questions about this? Yes. Glorifying devotees? Can you glorify devotees? Yes, there is no penalty for glorifying devotees. Yes, it's good to glorify devotees. Say nice things, and especially good if... Huh? Does anyone not have one and want one? Okay, we're all equipped now. Now, anyone have any questions about this system? Now, yes?
If you criticize someone and then you realize and you glorify back, can you change your own band back?
But if you're going to change it back, you might as well criticize them twice. And take full advantage of you moving it. No. Now, to make this even more exciting, we have a system called the Sakha-Sakhi system. That what we do is find someone very close to us, and choose them, and of course we should keep it Sakhas with Sakha, and Sakhis with Sakhis, and just choose someone. And what you'll do is, while you're here at the retreat, you talk to this person twice a day about how you're doing with your criticisms and complaining. So find someone, find a Sakha or a Sakhi right now. There's someone very close. Take one, just quick. Oh, and if required, you can have a group of three. But twice a day, you're required to talk to this person. Okay. You can have a group of three if you like. Why don't you just, you two, over here. Okay, you two. Is anyone Sakha or Sakhi-less and feeling left out? Okay. Now, okay, so everyone understand the system? So, we're going to move on now to the next. That was part two. Now we're going to move on to part three. Now, part three is something to do with groups also. Now, what I would like Aniruddha Prabhu to do and Jagatirini Mataji to do is, Jagatirini Mataji, if you would organize the ladies into groups of six or eight, whichever is sort of more convenient. Aniruddha Prabhu, could you organize the sakas, the men, into groups of six or eight? Just in case you have some discriminating reasons for moving people into these groups. Now we're going to use these in our chanting and more things, because I would like the devotees to chant together in their japa when it is practical for them. Now Aniruddha Prabhu and Jagatirini Mataji and myself, we won't be part of the groups. Here's a lone sakha just appeared. Could one group adopt him and have a three-person group, Muralidhar Prabhu, and then explain to him, and maybe you could pass this to Muralidhar Prabhu. Pass that to Muralidhar Prabhu and explain it. And it's good if the Sakhi groups, the members of the Sakhi groups are together, if practical, in the same group. Okay. Yeah, that's good. So how many groups are there? Is anyone groupless at this point? Is everyone? Okay, I'd like to find out how many groups there are. Okay, we're starting. How many groups are there? Okay, good. Six groups of men. Okay. Now, the next thing that we have to do in this, and it's very simple, is I want one person to be the leader of each group. Now, but I don't want you to have no elections, no politics, not yet. And no one, everyone will go, no, I don't want to be, no. But I hope someone will do it. And it would be good if maybe the senior most or whatever like that is do it. Okay, Aniruddha Prabhu, could you go around and make sure every group has a group leader? And I'll tell you what the simple responsibilities of the group leader is. It was unanimous. Yeah. But don't worry, because this will be so nice, because we've already set up that there's no criticism and complaining. This is the ideal situation to be a leader in. Very rare. And only glorifying. Okay. Now the purpose of this group is that we chant our japa together, and also there'll be something on the final day that this group does. But we chant our japa together as much as is practical. It doesn't mean that you have to be there at every moment. If you want to chant loudly outside or something, or walk a little, yes, of course that's okay. And you don't have to ask permission from your group leader or anything like that. But the idea is that we sit together and chant japa. during the specific japa times, the japa classes, and again we'll have one this afternoon, and the group leader's responsibilities are as follows. And maybe all the group leaders can take one of these sheets. And this explains basically what it is, what the group leader has to do. Could you pass those? Why don't you give those to the Matajis and there, and Vera, to keep one for yourself. And pass this for the Jagtwini. Could you pass that to Aniruddha Prabhu so he can give those to the, just to the leaders? Okay, if you know who they are. Now, it's very simple what the group leaders have to do. Is first of all, encourage the devotees to come on time. That's all. And don't criticize them for not coming on time. You know, there's gentle and sweet ways to do these kind of things, too. You could say, instead of saying, "You came late, Prabhu." And when it's that mood, when someone calls you Prabhu, you really know you're in trouble. But you can say, it's so nice when all the devotees are here chanting together. Yes. How many more, Dini? Okay. And basically just come together and chant. And the group leader, every once in a while, and this will explain some of the... We'll explain more on this particular point, but encourage the devotees to hear one mantra. If you were present in last year's japa retreat, I took that responsibility. So every once in a while I would say, please remember, you know, to hear one mantra. I found it helped devotees and helped me also. Reminded me of what I was supposed to be doing right now, and what was I supposed to be doing? I'm sitting there chanting Hare Krishna, and I was supposed to be hearing, listening to the Hare Krishna mantra, and associating with Krishna in that way. So the group leader has that responsibility every once in a while to remind the devotees out aloud. To hear one mantra and to be determined about this. And remember that Krishna actually, and we'll be speaking about this in a few minutes, that Krishna's attention, yatatas vishyamati, that when we chant Krishna's names, that his attention actually comes to the devotee who's chanting. So these very simple things, the group leader just reminds the devotees in his group by saying these things aloud every once in a while. Not in such a way that it distracts people from their japa, but I've seen it myself that my mind tends to wander so much, and once it goes, it's so hard to get it back. Once it's fed the freedom of wandering all over the universe, which in the metaphor that we were speaking about this morning, from jumping from branch to branch to branch of the tree of material existence, the mind doing that, it's so hard to get it back. So the group leader's simple job is to say, please hear one mantra. Or please be determined to be attentive or to chant attentively. Or please remember that Krishna's attention is on us in a short way. And of course the group leader, this is the great weight of being a leader even in this circumstance. He said try to set a good example. And also at the beginning and the end, maybe he can ask the devotees if they met with their sakas and sakis about the criticism and complaint free time. Just very, very simple things. So these points are written down here. Okay, does anyone have any questions about the groups? So I would suggest as much as is practical, not as much as possible, we all chant together, and I'll try to be present as much as I can, but last year I found that, because after, because of all the sitting, my back went out, so I have to do some walking. So I can't be there all the time, but I'm requesting that Jagatwini Mataji and Aniruddha Prabhu and myself sometimes will visit different groups whenever it's practical for us, and just chant with the devotees whenever it's practical for us, for the three of us. Is that all right, Aniruddha Prabhu? Okay. So any questions about either the group activity, the group, or the criticism complaint free? And one simple way that that we can see if something is it really a criticism or wasn't really a criticism. We could see how we feel about it. We could, and it, you know, it's not a thing like, is it a criticism or isn't it a criticism? Should I move my band or shouldn't I? That's very, very, very simple. And keep it simple. And try to keep the consciousness in a good state so that it's peaceful. And that we can chant Krishna's names with attention, because that's all we're here to do, practically speaking, to associate with each other, and in the association of devotees, to chant Krishna's holy names. Because why? Why do we want to do that? Anyone want to offer an answer? And help me with this. Why do we want to just chant Krishna's names? Huh? We want Krishna's attention to come to us. Why? So? We can serve him. Because we would like him to give us some mercy. And why would we like him to give him some mercy? Us mercy? Well, you can ask yourself that question, and if you think you might need some mercy for Krishna, from Krishna, that's a good reason. If you think you don't need any mercy from Krishna, well, of course, none of us think like that. So why do we chant Krishna's names? Because chanting Krishna's names is association with Krishna. And why do we want to associate with Krishna? Because that's the perfection of existence. And that's who we really are. This is who we are. That is the reality, not the reflection. And what Maya's business is to place a barrier between us and Krishna, an illusion in our consciousness, like a cloud between our eyes and the sun. So that we don't get the benefit of our natural position of association with Krishna. And why does Maya do that? Is because Krishna Bhule Se Jeev. What does Krishna Bhule Se Jeev mean? What does Bhule mean? Forgetting. We want to forget Krishna. And what we are trying to do when we chant japa is reverse that. And turn towards Krishna. And please keep that in mind, because it's not easy to focus the rascal mind on Krishna. Because we have a habit, a long-standing habit, that's so ingrained in our consciousness to be independent of Krishna and to not see Krishna in everything. And we are very addicted. Our minds are very addicted to running all over the universe looking for pleasure. And the mind is so amazing, because within one minute it can be criticizing everyone for what everyone's done wrong, as if I am the central figure, and the next minute can just go bloop and feel oneself completely worthless and so embarrassed and can't do anything and criticizing oneself. If we cultivate a critical mind about everyone else, it turns on us too. And one second it could be thinking one thing, the next second the opposite. And then something it could be glorifying. I want this. I need to do this right now. And the next moment, it's insignificant. Completely forgotten about. And the mind just holds on to something else as if it's the only important thing in existence. And then it gets worked up in the mode of passion. And then sometimes the mode of ignorance comes in a little bit. And then this is all the workings of the mind. And it's distraction. It's just distraction from Krishna. Now we're ready for the first part of the presentation. It has to do with practical chanting. Now, I think we need to open, because the time is exactly 11:45, and if we could open the doors a little bit and let some freezing cold air in, because this one, we're going to speak about some of the simple methodologies we use when chanting Krishna's names. This is the nine keys. Well, it's part of it. Now, don't, yes, open it up, but there's something I'd like you to do also. Now, I saved the best and most important thing for last, because I really wanted you to pay attention to this, so please, please, please pay deep attention to this. Now, is the sound set up on this? Because we want to hear Prabhupada's. Okay. Now what I'd like everyone to do is listen carefully to Prabhupada's words. This is from a lecture that Prabhupada gave in Mayapur. And there are three sections. The third section is very, very short. And the first two sections are also quite short. But the third section is very short. And after the end of each section, I would like you to write down what, in a very, very concise, short way, what was the essence of what Prabhupada was telling us. Because after all, we have Srila Prabhupada's Murti here, and if Prabhupada was actually sitting here, physically sitting here, we'd be so excited, but excited for what? What would we be excited for? To just to go, oh, Prabhupada's here, like he was a rock star or something like that. What would we want? Huh? Okay, and what form does Prabhupada's mercy take? If he's sitting there, huh? Yes. He's going to speak. And it was amazing too, in Prabhupada's presence even, it's not that it was easy to stay awake, because the mind very often doesn't want to hear the message of going back home, back to Godhead. So keep very attentive. And Prabhupada is going to speak to us. And I think this is what I want you to do, ideally, is see what words of Prabhupada's, and we'll be doing something similar tomorrow as well, actually speak to you. Prabhupada had such a potency that there could be a room filled with 500 devotees or 1,000 devotees, and so many of them, if not all of them, could feel that Prabhupada was speaking personally to them. The words would penetrate the heart in that way. So potent. So see, at the end of each section, we'll take a minute to write down in the simplest way what was the essence of what Prabhupada is saying. And in even a more direct way, if there were any words that Prabhupada said that especially struck you and entered your consciousness. Okay? Understand the mission? Ready? Okay, now. There's one head in the way.
Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavan Krishna, they are identical. There's no difference. Don't say, well, I am reading Bhagavad Gita, not with purpose, then I am direct. But to associate who with a desire that I shall be able to associate to devotee and Krishna, then Bhagavad Gita is non different from Krishna. There is no difference. Advaitat. Advaitat means without any difference. Madanti tat tattam inas tattam jagyanam advaitam. Advaitam. If you are a devotee, then I am a devotee. When you read Bhagavad Gita, you must know Krishna is there. If you are a pure devotee, when you chant Hare Krishna, Krishna is there on your tongue, dance. Don't think otherwise. Krishna is there. Nama Chintamani Krishna. Nama. Anyone who is chanting Hare Krishna without any offense. Same kind of offenses, you know that. By avoiding offense, if you chant Hare Krishna, then you must know that Krishna is there. Nama Chintamani Krishna Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha Purna Shuddha Nitya Mukta Avindra Tyag Nama Nanda.
Okay. Please write down either what you think was the essence of what Prabhupada said. If you need a paper and a pen, I have one. Okay. Or anything that struck you specifically. Anyone like to say what they've written? Raise your hand if you'd like to share with us what you wrote down. Yes, Mati, you raise your hand first. Loudly, though. Thank you. Adhyam. Non-dual. Krishna and his name. Yes. Wonderful. Anyone else? Yes. Thank you. Anyone else? Yes. Loudly.
You must have a desire to associate with Krishna.
Thank you. We must have a desire to associate with Krishna. Anyone else? Anyone else? Thank you. Yes? Non-different. Yes. Thank you. Yes, there has to be conviction. Did anyone... I'll tell you the thing, what struck me the most is when Prabhupada said, don't think otherwise. What was he referring to? Huh? No, what was he referring to? What shouldn't I think otherwise? Krishna, don't think that... that Krishna is there when you chant his name. Don't think otherwise. Now, if Prabhupada was sitting right there and he said that right before you were going to chant your japa, and he said, don't think otherwise, and then he said, does anyone have any questions? And then I saw this one time. Prabhupada in Melbourne in 1975, he was giving a lecture. And as the Bhagavatam says, he was describing that there are giant eagles that fly from planet to planet in the universe. And they hatch their eggs in the friction of outer space. And he sat on the Vyasasana and he said this. And then he asked, are there any questions? Not directly after that. He finishes after any questions. And one devotee he said, Prabhupada, you said in your lecture that there are giant eagles that fly from planet to planet. And then he said, it is a little hard to believe. And Prabhupada said, very gravely, what do you know? You are still within the womb of your mother. Now, we giggle now, but none of us were giggling then when Prabhupada said that. He was very heavy, and that one devotee, he expressed a doubt that was in his mind. That's what I thought of when I heard Prabhupada say, don't think otherwise. And then he would say, are there any questions? And then, are you sure, Prabhupada, that Krishna is there in his name? Well, none of us would probably say that to Prabhupada, because Prabhupada was sure. And why aren't we sure? Did someone say eagle? Flying from planet to planet? Well, that's what happens. Our false ego is flying from planet to planet. But because we don't chant Krishna's names properly, Shudanam, Premanam. Prabhupada said, if you're a pure devotee, Krishna's there. Don't think otherwise. Well, then we can also think, well, that's for pure devotees. I'm just a poor devotee. Therefore, as if that's an excuse. No, it's insincerity. It's insincerity. And that is what, when we sit down to chant our japa, and we even boldly take the vow that, yeah, yes, I'm going to listen to my chanting, what happens is we have to confront our insincerity. That, yes, my rascal mind runs all over the universe because I have desires all over the universe. In the reflection, I'm here, my situation in the material world is it's sitting on my desire, which is sitting, this is what the whole material world, aparyayami dastvanam, prakritim binime tvayam, jiva bhuta mahabaho, daryate jagate jagat, whoops, that the jiva in that sense, he's a co-creator of the material world. Of course, Krishna is the ultimate creator, but the jivas, it's based on our desire. Daryate, we are holding it. We are holding the material, we are the substance that's holding the material world together in that sense. It's based on my desire, my situation is based on my desire. So at this particular time, even though I have so many desires, but a choice, we want to make a choice when I'm chanting japa, now, especially during this retreat, that I want to associate with Krishna. I want to turn towards Krishna. That much of a desire we want to express sincerely. I want to turn towards Krishna by chanting his names as best as I can. We don't, maybe we can become pure devotees like that. Yes, we can. But that depends somewhat on Krishna's mercy, but it also depends on our sincere attempt. So let us do our part, which is the sincere attempt, and that's what we're asking for. Okay, next part. Now, same thing. Please pay close attention and take notes to
it. Nirapaka, just like we are reading now, Srimad Bhagavatam. This is Nirapaka of Krishna and his devotee, Pullad. This is Nirapaka, extent of being between devotee and the Lord. The whole Bhagavat, it is called Bhagavat. Why? The only subject matter is Bhagavat and Bhakta. Bhagavan is the Lord, and Bhakta is the Lord. He does not. You won't find any newspaper like that there was earthquake in London and this and that. You won't find it. It is not like that. Bhagavan is the Lord. Not for the enjoyment of the crows like man, but not to swan. Hamsa, why? Hamsa is taken from Hamsa. Hamsa has the capacity, Hamsa means swan. He has got capacity. If you give to the Hamsa milk mixed with water, the Hamsa has got the capacity to drink the milk and reject the water. Therefore, Hamsa. Paramhamsa. Paramhamsa means, although they are in the material world, they are pushed out in material things, but he has taken Krishna. That's all. Krishna is there, everywhere is Krishna. Isavasamilam sadbam. Even in this material world, there is Krishna. But the Hamsa can take it. Not the crow. The crow can take it. That's the difference between the crow and Hamsa. So those who are in Krishna consciousness, they are being trained up to become Hamsa, or they are Hamsa. They don't care for anything material thing. They are concerned with Krishna.
Heavy, yes? Hamsas in training. They don't care for anything but Krishna. They don't care for anything, material thing. Okay, write down what you heard was the essence of what Prabhupada was saying. Okay, raise your hand when you'd like to say. Yes, Paul. You're first. Loudly though. Yeah, that's what's in the Bhagavatam. The dealings between Krishna and devotees and his devotees like Prahlad. Thank you. Yes. Yes. And what did Prabhupada mean? What's the example?
When
So what was the example? What is the example of the Hamsa, the Paramhamsa, have to do? What does that have to do with this world? Yes. Yeah. That Krishna is here in the material world because there is no place where Krishna is not. So he's here. There is no place and there is no time where Krishna isn't present. But not everyone can perceive Krishna because Krishna is the essence of everything. Just like when the water is mixed with the milk together, not everyone can extract the milk from the water. But it is the Hamsa who can do that, the swan. So the swan-like person, the Paramhamsa, he can extract the essence of every place and time. In other words, he sees Krishna there and rejects everything else. But that's his vision. It's not like we can say, from now on, I'm only going to see Krishna in every place and circumstance. It's not an intellectual adjustment. You can theoretically understand it. It's like you can theoretically understand, yes, I can extract the water from the milk, but the ability is something else, the true ability. And what gives us that ability? That's Krishna's mercy. And it's our sincere attempt, because the Paramhamsa is completely sincere. He wants Krishna. Krishna's service. He's made his decision from the very core of his being. I want to be with Krishna. And I don't want anything else. And he's fully fixed in that. Because, basically, on the bhakti level, he's fallen in love with Krishna. It is not intellectual, it's not theoretical, it is powerful, because it's based on his spontaneous love for Krishna. And therefore, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said about when he observed the character of his Guru Maharaj, Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj, he understood that he was such a Paramhamsa and he couldn't be compromised. And his conclusion was, only a devotee can truly have integrity and character in this world. Because there is nothing on the material level that can tempt him, can seduce him away from Krishna. Because his connection with Krishna is so thick, it is so sweet, it is so powerful, it is so tasty, it is so loving. Therefore, effortlessly, his consciousness flows to the lotus feet of Krishna. This is Paramhamsa. We cannot imitate this. But the wonderful thing about, or one of the wonderful things about chanting Krishna's names is Navritta Shar Bhagihamanam Mavoshada Sota Mano Brahmat. That chanting Krishna's names is the great pleasure for the purest souls because they're associating with Krishna. They're actually experiencing Krishna when they're chanting his names. But where does that leave me? Very far away. But also, in addition to it being Krishna, it's also Baba Oshud. What does Oshud mean? It is medicine. For the great Paramhamsas, it's Krishna directly. Abhinatvam namanamano nama chintamani krishnas. But for me, it is medicine. It will cure my disease of continuously wanting to play in the land of the reflection. It will turn things upside down. Yes, chanting Krishna's names really should turn our life upside down. And why doesn't it often? Is because we don't chant properly. We're with Krishna just like what's an example? The example I want to say. When did anyone ever who drives cars here? Raise your hand if you're a driver. Did you ever get in your car and drive it? You're driving somewhere, and suddenly you arrive, and you sort of forgot that you were driving for the whole way. Or sometimes this happens when you're walking. You arrive there. Say, legs take me home, and then you go. And your mind goes somewhere else. You tour the universe. Well, that's what happens sometimes when we chant our japa or say Gayatri mantra. We're physically there, but our consciousness is far away. And that's what we want to do. We want to bring the activity that we're doing, the chanting of Krishna's names, and our consciousness together. That's our attempt. Easy to understand, but if one has a wayward mind, it's less than easy to do. So we try our best. That's what we're asking for, the sincere attempt. And the groups will help, and the group leader reminding us, try to hear a mantra, will help. Remind us what we're trying to do. We're trying to bring our consciousness together with the activity. Because usually we're so dual on everything. We're always half doing this and half doing that. But while we're chanting our japa, especially this time, we want to bring the pieces together and be doing one thing. Chanting with our consciousness and with our tongue and ear. And that's the key, of course, the tongue and the ear. We want to make the attempt, at least. That will be the sincerity, to make the attempt. And when the mind wanders, bring it back. So we'll be talking about some practical things in a few moments. But let's go on to the third part of what Prabhupada said. This one's very short, so you're going to have to pay very close attention. Otherwise, it'll be over quickly, and you'll have missed it. Okay.
That was Krishna is everywhere. Huh? Who will look at anyone who is happy? No. But the devotee can get Krishna from anywhere. He has out that we take him. But in the process, the prophecy is devotional service. If you are engaged in devotional service, in anywhere,
you are in Krishna. In anywhere. So when we're chanting japa, we should remember that this is devotional service. It is pleasing to Krishna. It is an attempt to please Krishna by chanting his name, ultimately with love. But at least we should try to be there consciously as we are there physically while we chant. Oh, I've watched myself do this so many times. Chanting and turning pages on the book, on this book, on that book. Downloading emails, doing this, chanting japa. I'm not there while I'm there. So what does that tell Krishna? What does that tell Krishna? What does that tell Krishna? If I'm... Well, yeah, I don't want to be with you. So, Krishna, yayatam mam papalyante. You say, I don't want to be with you? Okay. Feeling is mutual for the present. Okay, so whenever you're ready, I'm here. I want to be with you as soon as you want. Raise your hand if you want to be with people who don't want to be with you. Do you want to? Well, guess what? Krishna is a person. When you're with someone, and every few seconds they're going like this, looking at their watch. Well, nowadays no one wears watches, so you have to pull out your mobile phone to find out what time it is or something like that. But just, you don't feel like being with them. Why? Because they don't feel like being with you. They have something more important to do. Krishna's a person. So when we do our devotional service, it's not just service, it's not just work, it's devotional. It's an offering. And chanting Krishna's names is that. This is my offering to you. Think of it like that. When we chant our japa while we're here at the retreat, think this is going to be my offering to you, Krishna. I'm going to sincerely try. Okay, we'll probably get the last few words when we hit the... Yes, you are in Krishna. Okay, now we'll move on. We've covered some of these points already, and if... This is what... these are the information or process we've put in the japa book. If you've... I didn't want to go over the same points again and again, but I would like to just go over them quickly as a review. Go on to there's 9 points we put in there. The first one is chant Hare Krishna. These we called keys. So to chant Hare Krishna effectively, of course we have to at least chant Hare Krishna. So that's the first principle. And whether you're chanting properly or improperly, don't give up chanting. Just chant Krishna's names. And second point is listen to one mantra. Don't make too much of an ambitious goal that I'm going to chant all my rounds forever attentively. From now on, I'm going to chant attentively, because we don't have the power to deal with the future in the present. And there's no use also, and this comes up later too, lamenting about all the poor quality rounds I've chanted in the past. So let us deal with our freedom where it actually exists, and that is in the present. So let us try our best to hear one mantra. Which one? The one I'm chanting now. Or the name of Krishna that I'm chanting now. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. We actually have the power to hear the name of Krishna that I'm chanting right now. Sometimes, when our mind is very passionate or very ignorant, we don't even have that power. But we want to try our best to keep the mind as much as we practically can in the mode of goodness. So when the mind is in the mode of passion, it's thinking about the future. How many more rounds do I have left? How many more mantras? How about this? How about that? What am I going to do next? What do I have to do tomorrow? How many more 16 rounds left, etc.? That's the future. It's running, running, running. And when it's in ignorance, it's lamenting. Oh, why did this happen? And why did that happen? And if only this, and if only that. And getting down and down. That's tamagun. That's ignorance type of thing. And the future is thinking, oh, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. Which has great pleasure in the beginning, and the mind traps us in that way so many times. all I want to do is one little thing while I'm chanting my japa, and there is a pleasure, there is some satisfaction in doing that, and then the mind races off into the mode of passion, and it cannot be captured again. And then something so simple as hearing the holy name of Krishna while I'm chanting, it becomes almost impossible when the mode of passion gets really wound up. So we want to keep in the mode of goodness. In other words, it's very simple what we want to do. One time I gave this class, a class like this. It was in Christchurch, actually. And we practiced just hearing the name that we were chanting right now. And at the end, one devotee, who was actually quite a wild person, said, "This is so simple." And when the mind is cool, or when the mind is in the mode of goodness, it is completely simple and completely natural. And usually, you watch the people of the world, they're walking down the street, they're doing this, they're doing that, but they're usually somewhere else. They're not where they are. They're in the future, in the past, and just to make sure they're not where they are, they have a mobile phone so that they can walk down the street and talk to someone, be somewhere completely different from where they are. No, the mode of goodness is the most rare commodity in Kali Yuga. And what is that? Translates into satisfaction. No one is satisfied. Everyone is dissatisfied. I have to buy this, I have to buy that, I have to get this. Everyone's desires are just increasing. No one is satisfied because of satisfaction comes from within, the mode of goodness. And then when we take a consciousness that's in the mode of goodness, primarily in the mode of goodness, and place Krishna's names in there, then Krishna manifests so much more easily, because we're with him. We're chanting his name, and our consciousness is there. So as much, that's the basic idea why we try to listen to one mantra or one name. We try to keep our consciousness in the now, so that we're touching the name, which is Krishna, with our consciousness as we're chanting. And Krishna manifests to different degrees according to his desire and how our ability to do that. But we should try. And if we can chant one mantra and hear it, or one name and hear it, it's wonderful. Don't think that it's not wonderful. It is wonderful, because we've touched Krishna, and he's chosen to manifest to us as much as he's wanted. Touch Krishna with your consciousness. Just try to hear one mantra, one name, and the leaders in the group should just every once in a while remind the devotees, please, try to hear one mantra. And sankalpa, we'll talk about this in a few moments, because this is the emphasis that I'd like to make in this class more than anything else, is that it takes some determination. Because what I've seen with myself and others too, but very much with myself, if I'm not determined, my mind's going to take me on a tour. Of where? It could be anywhere. It could end up anywhere. And it will always have the excuse, and this is the mind's special capacity, or one of its special capacities. It will make whatever it is holding on to appear to be the most important thing. Not only the most important thing, but the only important thing right now. That is the mind. And when you see it happening, think, oh, look what my mind is doing to me now. Don't identify with it. Oh, look where my mind is taking me. How interesting. Hare Krishna. I should listen to hear one mantra. But be determined. Be determined. Without making that determination, turning it into a noun, so to speak, this is a determination I'm making. I'm going for this one japa period, for this one retreat. After I leave the retreat, I can do whatever I want. But during this one retreat, let me try to be a little more sincere than I am and try to hear Krishna's name. Be determined. Four, yato yato nishchalati, bring the mind back to hearing the mantra. So wherever it wanders, and it wanders, bring it back. But sometimes by Krishna's mercy, it will catch, will try to catch the holy name, will try and will bring it back. And then if Krishna wants, and if we're sincere, we try. Or even sometimes when we're not sincere, it becomes so easy. But try, keep bringing it back based on the determination. And be detached. Five, be detached. Be detached means I haven't chanted, I haven't heard one mantra for the last 15 years. Okay, so what? My freedom is now. Be detached from the future, be detached from the past. Just manifest your freedom now. Try to hear the mantra or the name that you're chanting now. And again, if you hear one name, be happy about that. Then, six, something that one will have to do is neglect the mind. The mind will try to tour us all over and say, Tora Badme, Abhinay. Just later, but don't say that. Just bring it back to hearing the mantra you're chanting now. Neglect, it has to be neglected. Watch, it will be tricky. Neglect it. Then, when you see your mind, when we catch our minds doing all kinds of tricks, just become humble. It will question everything. It will doubt everything. It will give us so many alternatives. And when we see I have so many attachments in this world, I'm attached to every branch of the reflected tree of material existence, but I'm so unfortunate. I have no attachment to Krishna and his holy names. And please, Krishna, this humility is the essence of the philosophy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because it brings the next step of Namashraya. Jess, could you just move a little bit this way? Because, well, if you would sit over there, then you could easily see. Thank you. Yeah. Now, then, when we're humble, when we feel, when we actually catch our mind and all our material desires and all those things, we can get, the mode of ignorance can get us depressed, the mode of passion can get us following it, and the mode of goodness turns it into humility. Oh, Krishna, I am so fallen. Please help me. Please help me. Please help me. Hare Krishna, if you don't help me, what hope do I have? When that mood coats our chanting, then it is more powerful. And then ultimately the ninth key is the master key, Krishna's causes mercy. And that, he's free. He's the independent Lord. Okay, just moving on. And the one I would like to, I've already spoken about it more, but just a little bit more on Sankalpa, because my dear devotees, we should do our part in the process of chanting, and that's, of course we should chant, but we should be determined. That's what we can bring to the chanting. Be determined to what? And to try to hear the holy names, to hear one mantra, to try to hear one name. Be determined about that, to make the attempt very sincerely. That's what I wanted to say. Be determined. And the group leaders, please remind the devotees to be determined. And when, if he says, be determined. And the wonderful thing about being a leader is that when you say it to others, you have to hear it. Everyone else can ignore what you're saying, but you have to hear it because it's coming out of your mouth. And what we mean to say, so when if someone says be determined, means be determined to try, make the attempt to hear and to bring the mind back and be detached. Be detached. Be detached from what? Not from Krishna or Krishna's holy names, but be detached from how you, if you, no, what the results had previously been or anything like that. Just try your best right now, because now is where our freedom is. Again, that same point. We want to place ourselves in the real tree, the real reality, not the reflection, and be with Krishna by chanting his holy names. Okay, I think if we press the next button, I think it will indicate again. I think it's over. So that's the end of this class, this presentation. It had three parts. Which was the first part that I presented? Does anyone remember? Yes. Huh? What was the first part I presented in this? Criticism and complaining. Boy, you never listen to anything I say. Okay. There's another one. Don't. And then, second part was about the groups. And the third part was some practical advice on chanting. Try to hear one mantra. Okay, so what I would like to do just for, we'll end in 15 minutes, but I would like to do a little preparatory chanting, because at 4 o'clock we'll meet here for the chanting of japa in our group. So why don't we just move into our groups now and just start chanting japa. Keep these things in mind just for 15 minutes. And just begin. I won't say anything else other than thank you very much. Keep trying. Hare Krishna. Thank you. I feel bad interrupting your chanting, but you can continue. But thank you very much for chanting so sincerely. Please, group leaders, occasionally remind the devotees in just a simple word or two words, be determined, hear one mantra like that. Okay, so soon it's probably time for prasadam. I'm not sure exactly when, but you can keep chanting, and I'm sure the class is officially over if you want to run around the block or something, up and down the hill a few times. You're welcome to but chant while you're doing so. Of course. Okay, thank you. Srila Prabhupada. And be serious about the criticism.